Be'ez Hashem Tzibokh, we begin Perek Shish Ve'estrim, the 26th chapter in the Dam Sefer Shabbos and Sefer Zman, Book of Designated Times, which continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding moving different types of things, which relates to Halacha of Muktzah, the rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos. I'm talking against Halacha Alf regarding moving vessels relating to weaving, brooms, earthenware shards. So Kol Klei Ha'Erig, all vessels from weaving, or V'Chavalav and its ropes, V'Kamshalei and its rods, Mutl Tatlam, you're allowed to move them kiklisha malach leis, like a halacha of something that its vessel is, its primary utility is for something prohibited, which is weaving, you're not doing Shabbos. But as we said in the previous parak, you're allowed to move those things for, let's say, guf and mekaimai, if you need it to use for a permitted malacha, or if you need its place. Chutz, but there's an exception even to that, mekaibet elyon, the upper beam, or kaibet atachin, the lower beam, lefisha in the tum, because they're not moved even during the weekday because they're stuck into the beams and into the pillars, and there it's hard to move them because of their weight. So therefore, they don't even have halacha of a kli to allow you to move it even for letzer gufa mekame. And v'chein amud mishalerik. So to the pillars of the loom of the weaver, also tell them, I'll move them shemisakin gumishal, because they're very heavy, and when you move them away, there's like where it's in the ground, these heavy pits that it dug into, so you might come to fix that, and therefore it's forbidden to move them. Now, but all other vessels of the weaving are permitted to be moved, like we said, as a klisha malachta le'issa. Halacha beis, machbadu shal tamara, brooms from the date tree, some of the things that they use to sweep the ground, they're like vessels that are primary utility is for a permitted entity. So like we said, that you could even move the tzarech atzmai for itself, that it shouldn't get broken, let's say. Levein m'shenishurim in abinyan, regarding bricks that are left over from a construction. They're like vessels that are its primary utility is for a permitted thing. Because they're fit to recline on. Can people smooth them out of masakhanism and then they fix them actually for that purpose? Now, but if let's say they were actually in a pile, one on the other, had a hikson, so that's obviously it's being set aside for construction, because or else it would be in a different formation, and the revasal talent, and therefore you're not allowed to move them because it's considered as mukta. Halacha gimel, cheres ketana, a small earthenware shard. Mutl tatla, you're allowed to move it afil b'shusram, even the public domain. Hoyle v'du'uyehi b'chatzer, since, even though in the public domain, it would seem to have no utility, but since it's fit in the court, l'chas b'pi klikatan, to cover the opening of a small vessel, so And because it originally had utility, it'll be considered, as we said in the previous parak, still have utility for this purpose, so it's not considered a mukta item, even in the public domain. Mugufas chavis, the cover of a barrel, shenis katasa, which if the barrel broke, so the cover, ushvireha, and the broken pieces of the barrel, mutl tatla, are allowed to be moved, because it still has the utility of covering the opening of a small vessel. Now, but if before Shabbos it was already thrown into the garbage, then it's not allowed to be moved, because you actively nullified it from being a vessel you put into the garbage. Now, klisha nisre'eha, a shaky vessel that partly broke, you're not detached from it, an earthenware shard to cover with or to support with. Halacha Dalet continues regarding moving for one to clean himself in the lavatory, in the bathroom. So mutl hachnas lebesakizi, allowed to bring into the bathroom shalosh abanim mekruzalis, three pointy stones. So even though stones are generally mukta, but these three pointy stones, you're allowed to bring lekanech ben to wipe and oneself in the bathroom. Now, b'kamashirin, what's that measurement? Kamalayad, a handful. Abla dama, but earth, she krevel isparach, which is very easily crumbled, osl tad lekanech ben, that you're not allowed to carry to bring into the bathroom to wipe with, because it's not fit to utilize to wipe oneself with. And actually, mutl halzavon lagag lekanechman, you even allowed to bring stones up to the roof to wipe oneself with, because even though it's a great exertion to bring it up to the roof, they permit it because the how great is the dignity of a person to be able to wipe himself, that it overrides this negative prohibition about mukta. Now, yodolim gishamim in the shtaka betit. Now, let's say it rained on these stones and they got submerged into the mud. So if the remnant is recognizable, meaning it wasn't totally submerged in the ground, you still see where it is, but then you're allowed to move it, and there's no problem about seiser. Now, even sheish la'atinuf, a stone that has filth on it, waste matter, shabad l'kanechi, obviously it's used for wiping, then mutl tal you're allowed to move it, even if it's big, again, because it's obviously prepared for this purpose. Halacha hei. Now, if someone had on Shabbos in front of him a pebble or earthenware shot. Mikanech betzrur, he should wipe himself with the pebble. So although it's mukta, he should not wipe himself with the earthenware shard because it's pointy and can be dangerous. Now, v'mhoya cheres ma'ogne kelim, but if let's say the earthenware shard was from the handles of a vessel, mekanech becheres, then you should wipe yourself with the earthenware shard because it's smooth and it's not going to tear the flesh and it's not mukta. If someone had in front of himself pebble and grass, so imhoya hayasam rakim, if the grass was moist, so mekanech ben, wipe it them because they're not mukta. V'mla, but if not, mekanech betzrur, he should wipe himself with the pebble because grass that's dry, actually, if someone wipes with them, it could rip out the muscle that's by the anus, and therefore, better use that which is safe, even though it's mukta. Halacha Vav continues regarding moving different types of vessels. Shiyoremach tzalo ishabalu, the remnants of a mat that got worn out. Hareim keklishim lachta lehetet. It's still considered like a vessel that its primary utility is for something permitted, and they should do in lechasbim hatina because it's still fit to cover filth with. But remnants of garments that got worn out, which it doesn't even have 3x3 finger breadths, also tell them that you're not allowed to move, because they have no utility, not for wealthy, not for poor, it's too small for anyone to have utility. Again, it's not a kli, it's not considered something inherently mukta. Shivri hataner, their ovens were movable, like our pots, the broken pieces of the oven, mukta tell them you're allowed to move them, but it's like old vessels that is primary utility for something permitted. And the kida range, which although these things are used for it's malachta lesser for cooking, but you're allowed to move it. Let's say move makaymai. But if shenishmta achas miachaser, if the range one of the legs slipped out, also tell then you're allowed to move it. Why? Shemiyitka, because you might come to stick the leg and push it back in, and thus be liable for boino or makam apadish for finishing something up, and therefore it's forbidden to move. Halacha zayin sulam a ladder shalalia of the loft of the upper story, which it's large and it's used to people, they go up to the roof to smooth off the roof. So also tell you not let him move that roof, even let's have that ladder, even let's have Guvmakami, because Sha'inglob Teres Kelly does not have a halachic status as a vessel on it, because it's a large entity. But Vishal Shabak, that have a dovecot, those ladders, that you allowed to tilt. Avaluya lichu mishabak shabbat, you're not allowed to take it from one dovecot to another one. We don't want you to be able to do what you do normally during the weekday, because then you have a lot that you might come to trap the doves, because you forgot that it's Shabbos, so you let it tilt it, but not moving from one to the other one. Kadnesh Amoskim B'Hazesim, the reed, which is the rod that's used to harvest the olives, Imish Lob Teres Kelly, if it has a status of a vessel on it, meaning it fits for some utility, so it's like a vessel with primary utility is for something forbidden, which is to harvest, but again, then you let it move it, let's move it, at least. A kana, a reed, Sheskinu B'Alabayis, that the a regular person prepared at least pesach benoilbay to open and close with. So imyesh taris kliyalov, if it has halachic status of a vessel on it, it's like a vessel that primary utility is for something that permitted, and therefore you let it move it even for the essence of the thing itself that it shouldn't break. Let's say halachaches dat l'shoy letzir, a door that had a hinge. So ava bishay in la'atetzir, even though now it doesn't have a hinge. If Shechina listem ba makam mukta, if let's say it was prepared to close up the area of the mukta was a courtyard behind the homes, the backyard, which they would put merchandise and wood, but they wouldn't commonly use their backyards. They would primarily use the front, which is called the chatzim. And the homeowner is not so concerned to make a regular door and to hang it on a hinge as normally. Rather, he just puts it up the door opposite the opening, and when he opens it, he puts it down on the ground. So if the hinegredes, it's dragged, that they drag it and they take it and they use it to close, or so too thorns, which they would tie thorns on the reeds and they would make a board out of it and they use it to close the breach in the gardens that no thieves or wild animals should get in over there. That they use to close up the breach, or let's say a mat that's dragged. So regarding all these cases, when it's tied on and it's hanging on the wall, so it's recognizable that it's as a door. So when you close it, it's not like building something, because like door open and close, not building and demolishing. So says mem benoil mehem. So you could seal with them and close with them. V'mlav, if not, enol dem inala, close with them because it looks like you're building it right now. This part of the wall. V'mhoyu gevoyim alor. Now, if it was higher than the ground, then you are allowed to close with them because that's not the normal way of building, and therefore that would not be a problem. Halacha test, delish hayla luch echad, a door that had only one board, only one beam, so it's not so recognizable like a door. Shashem Tinaisa, which they remove it, and they close with it. Say, Em lo hayla lamata kan, if on the bottom of this door there was no foundation, kama askupa, like the door, like the threshold, which would prove on it that it's a vessel that's prepared for closing, like a door, then you're not allowed to lock with it because it does not have all the different elements of a door, like all other doors, so it's just like closing it, looks like building. Now, but if on the bottom it has a threshold, then you're allowed to go ahead on the doorstep and close with it. So to a bolt. If on the edge it has like a shape of a pomegranate or a ring or like a, some type of a bulb, that proves in the true that it's a vessel that's prepared for closing because he has this thing to close it with. And the inner critic shall color curse, not just a beam like all other beams. The nail of you're allowed to close with it on Shabbos. It's not considered like always like you're adding on to something. This is obviously what it's meant for. Halacha yod. Now neger she'in bereisha klustered. If you have a bolt that does not have on the edge of it this bulb. It looks like just like a regular beam. If it was tied and hanging on the door, then you're allowed to lock with it. And so too, if let's say it was tied on with a strong rope, and you could take it through the rope, it's also the same thing. But if its rope was connected to the door, but the bolt was removed like a beam, and you just put that in the corner, and then you go back and you close with it when you want to, then you're not locked with it. Because it does not have on it a status of a vessel. Like we said, it doesn't have on the end of it this bulb. And the inner ogre, it's not attached to the door. And the neither does it have a rope attached to it to prove on it that it's made for closing, and therefore it looks like bain, and therefore it would be problematic. Lachid Aleph, also regarding problematic appearances, Menorah Shechuyos, a candelabra made out of different parts. Whether it's large, whether it's small, you're not allowed to move it. You might put back the pieces, the parts on Shabbos. We've had grooves. And it looks like it's made out of different parts. If it was very large, that you need two hands to hold it. Also, you're not allowed to move it because of its heaviness. Now, it's not because of its heaviness, because we already said that even 10 people, if it takes to hold a beam, if it's a kli, you're allowed to move it. Rather, it means to say because it's large and there's grooves, it looks like it's made out of different parts and different branches, and whoever sees is going to think it's made out of different parts. Okay, then it's forbidden to move it. But I say, if it's smaller than this, it's going to be permitted to move it, even though it has these grooves. Halachid beis, minol shagabe imum, a shoe that's on the form, the shoe form, which is where you make the shoes on that form. Shem Tinaisa b'Shabbos, you're allowed to take the shoe off that imum on Shabbos, so even though that kli is malach l'iser, but since it has a halach of a kli on it, you're allowed to move it l'tzayich m'kaymai for its place, which is to get the shoe off of it. Machbeish, a press, which are these two boards that you put the garments that are laundered between them and you press in it like a pressing to straighten out the different creases. Shalbali batim, if it's from a regular homeowner which doesn't do it so tightly, so matinim, you could open up the boards to take out the garments if you need on Shabbos. Avaloi kaibshin, but you cannot press in it. In other words, you can't put in the garments to press in it, which is a mundane activity. Vishal kaibshin, now, if it's the press of the launderer, of the launderers, liga, but then you're not allowed to be in touch. Nishum muktzamach maschasan kis. The Ram holds that that's considered, it'll set aside because of a loss of money, because it's a very expensive item. It's his professional tools. And again, therefore, they cannot be moved. V'chein gizit semer. So too, shearings of wool. Imatan leis, I'll move them. Nishum makbalim, because he's particular, he wants to safeguard it so it can be used for spinning, for making garments. Lafigur, therefore, im yichtim latashmash, but it was designated for some other purpose, some of you to lay on. So, then it's going to be permitted. Now, vashlochen, which are the animal skins that are were not processed yet, multitalm, that you're always allowed to move, bein shoyishal balabatim, vashalumin, whether it's from a regular homeowner or from a professional, because at that stage, he's not particular about them, and therefore, it's not, there's no loss, there's no concern over there, and it's not mukta. Aloha yigimel continues with the category known as graf shal rei. Kol devim metunav, anything of filth could go in re'i with feces, of a key, or vomit, of a tzaya, or excrement, creates some types of disgusting things. If this was a bucket full of this disgusting thing in your courtyard that you live in, So you're allowed to take it out to the garbage, or the basic case, or to the bathroom. This is what's called grof shel rei, literally the bucket of excrement. But it's something that's disgusting that there's no prohibition about muktzah to move it out because it's just repulsive to a person. Now, the moibah chatzah chesed, another courtyard where you're not hanging out over there. So in koyfin aleim kli, not let him move it, but you could just cover it with a vessel. And that's kadesh leitzah kot mishlachim, because the kid's going to wander off and get filthy with that. So you can't take it out to the garbage, but you could cover it, just that he doesn't get filthy from it. Roig shalakarka, when there's spit on the ground, dois lefi tumi b'halachi, you let us step in it innocently and continue walking, and it's not a problem that you have to not walk on it. Matatlan kanina, you're allowed to move this copper vessel that they would put in these burning coals to get warmed up from it, mibnei efarei, because of the ashes that are inside of it, which is useful to cover waste matter or spittle. Now, although there's a broken piece of wood in there, which is muktzah, because ultimately it's like something disgusting. It's like a garbage type of things. And therefore, the ashes that you don't want over here, you're allowed to take it out. That would permit you to move it out. But v'einos a graf shel rei l'kitchil b'shabbos. Like we say, not initially make a graf shel rei on Shabbos to purposefully make something that's going to be disgusting so that you could take it out. But if it was made by itself, by Shabbos, or someone did violate and made it, then it's innocent, then you're allowed to go ahead and get rid of it from your property. Halacha dalkit is regarding moving edible items. Regarding the oil that comes out from beneath the beams of the olive press on Shabbos, and the oil is oozing out, or dates or shkedim and almonds that were prepared for business, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos, which is a chiddush. You would think to say these things are set aside for business or other purposes. Even a storehouse of grain, or a pile of grain that's piled up, Maschil is topic men of Shabbos. You're allowed to start utilizing it on Shabbos because she'ein shum oichel shum muktzah b'Shabbos klal. There's no food item that's considered set aside, out of sight, out of mind, from being used on Shabbos at all, even if it's designated for selling or for business. And generally, you would say it's not meant for eating, because ela kol muchanu. Everything is considered prepared for a person wanting to maybe eat it on Shabbos. Chutz, except migregerus, from dried figs, with samuk and the dried grapes, sheba muktza, which is that courtyard that's the backyard that's behind the homes, which is designated for where a person has his business and his wood, bisman shemi optionalism, if it's there because they're drying it up, because hoil maslich has been time since they actually spoil in the interim stage when it's going from grapes to like raisins, not fit to be eaten, they're going to be forbidden to move on Shabbos because it's considered set aside. Now, chavish and eskalsa, regarding a barrel that was left uncovered, or vavatich shenishbira, or some type of melon that was broken where there were snakes around, and there's a concern about what's called magulo, that snakes might have eaten or drank from it and then put in their poison. Although it's not fit for eating, you're allowed to take it and move it into a discreet area, just that others don't drink or eat from those items and come to danger. An amulet that is not from a professional. Although you're not to go out into the street with such an amulet, metalless, you are allowed to move it because it does have at least halacha of a kli on it. The leftover oil in a lamp or in a plate should leak about Shabbos that was lit on that Shabbos. Also, stopping by Shabbos, you're not allowed to utilize from that leftover oil on Shabbos, because that was considered set aside because of the prohibition of the kindling that was attached to it when Shabbos started. A storehouse of grain or of barrels of wine, although you're allowed to go ahead and utilize from it, as we said in the previous halacha when it comes to food, but you're not allowed to start to clear it out because of the exertion, only if it's a mitzvah purpose. For example, you're clearing it out for bringing guests, or to have room for people to establish over there and learn there in the, as a beis medrash. Now, the kids how do you clear it out? Everyone fills up and carries out four or five baskets, until they finish. But make sure that they don't sweep the ground of the storehouse, because you might come to smooth out the pits and thus be liable for boina. Like we explained this in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Beis. Ella rather, nichnas v'yitzeh, but this is actually going on what we said before, that you now start clearing out a storehouse for a voluntary, optional thing. And that's what we're saying, rather, nichnas v'yitzeh, but you just come in and go out, and you can make a path with your feet as you're kicking it, as you're coming in and going out. That would be the way you would be permitted to utilize that area on Shabbos. Halacha d'zayin. Kol shudor l'machal behema, v'chayi v'ayif ha-metzuyin. Anything that's fit even for animal or wild animal food or birds that are common, that are found, Metal nesa b'shabbos, that's also allowed to move on Shabbos. Ketzhaso. Metal nesa turmis ayabish, you're allowed to move the turmis bean, the lupine, that bean that's dry, nishu maichalizim, because goats that are common, it's food for them. Avalei salach, but not if they're moist, because that's very bitter. As a chatzav, which is a type of a vegetable from the onion family that the roots go very deep down in a straight line in the ground, nishu maichal letzavon, because that's deer food. As a chardel, mustards, mem nishu maichal yon, because doves eat mustard seeds. As a tzomis, bones, nishu maichal klav, because dogs eat that. V'chein kol ha-klipim v'agadin and haruin l'maichal mehem, so to all shells and all pits that are fit for animal food, talon lois me'ilad ha-muv v'dip. But v'she'in erum, but those are not fit even for animals. So eichel is eichel, you eat the food, and v'zirkum ha-achar, when you throw the shell behind you, basal talon that, you're not allowed to move, because it's mukta. Matatlan basa tefuach, you're allowed to move spoiled meat, nishu maichal ha-chaya, because wild animals will eat it. U'matatlan basa chaya, you're allowed to move raw meat, and that's being tough, whether if it's unsalted or bimalich, whether it's salted, they should allow them because it's still fit for a person. And v'chein dog malich, so too salted fish, but unsalted fish is forbidden to be moved because that's not fit to be eaten at all. Halach yitzayin, im etatlan shibrit schuchas, you're not allowed to move broken pieces of glass, av b'shem maichel namiyos, even though asajras eat it, v'chabil is moris, you're not allowed to move these branches of, the bundles of branches, these big bundles, av b'shem maichel apilim, although elephants eat it, and neither you allowed to move the luf, which is an herb that has very wide leaves. Although ravens eat them, because these creatures or similar type of creatures are not mitzuyin, they're not found by most people. So therefore, that would not be including the heter of moving animal food. Bundles of straw, of a chavilah zradin, or bundles of the soft branches that they cut off when they do the pruning. So, if was prepared for this purpose from before Shabbos for animal food, so you're not allowed to move it. If not, you're not allowed to move it because generally these things are used for fuel and therefore they're mukta. Chavili siya, pua, ve'eze, ve'karanis, bundles of these items which you mentioned, Perichof Aleph, that they're all types of sprouts that are could be used either for fuel or for animal food. So, therefore, it goes based on the person's thoughts. So, if they were brought in to the storehouse for firewood, which is not fit on Shabbos, they're mukta, same as takma and Shabbos, you're not utilized from them on Shabbos. But the Michael Mahim, if they're brought in for animal food, and then you're allowed to utilize from them. And v'chem b'minta, same thing, halacha applies to mint. V'chem b'pegim, same thing applies to rue, which is that it's a herb that has these small aromatic leaves. And v'chem b'shomin etab, so to all other spices, it depends what you're bringing in for, what halacha is going to be. Halacha yates, in goyfin malcha malifne apetam. You're not allowed to shovel away the food in front of the animal that's being fattened. Whether it's a trough that's a vessel, whether the trough that's on the ground. And the emesakum and stud, you're not moving to the sides because of the feces that are there that he's not going to want to eat, so you want to move it away. No, all these things, I'll move away gzeres, the kri shemi yashra gumas, because you might come to smooth out the pits. So therefore, even an evashal kli, which is not in the ground, is forbidden because of that of on the ground, which you might be smoothing out the ground when you do that. Now, noit l'malifne ha-chamor, you're allowed to take the food from in front of a donkey, but noit l'malifne ha-shur, and put it in front of the ox, because the ox does not become disgusted with the food of a donkey because his saliva doesn't drip down, so it's not considered something moving for no purpose. I'll take the food from in front of the ox and put it in front of the donkey. Because the food that's in front of the ox becomes filthy from his saliva. And it's not fit for another animal to eat, so therefore it would be considered mukta. It doesn't have the halacha as maicha behema. So too leaves that have a bad smell and they're disgusting, and no animal's going to eat it, so no, so tell them, then you'll move that. Therefore, talai shel dogim, the hook that's used to hang the fish, asatati, and I'll move it. But v'shalbasa, that of meat, mutter is permitted. All similar types of things. Again, if it's disgusting, so then you're not allowed to move it. Halacha chavkat is regarding moving as it applies to a dead person. Although it's forbidden to move a dead person on Shabbos, again, inherently has no utility, but sachan say they're allowed to anoint him with oil, and they're allowed to wash him off, because that's not considered moving, that's just touching, and by mukta is only forbidden to move, but as long as you don't move a limb. V'shem t'mesakar metach, you could remove the pillow from beneath him, k'deshi mutl al-chol, so that he could be laying on the sand itself, b'shul she'amtin, so that they should wait, and he should not decay on the warm blankets. U'mevin clay maker, you could bring cooling vessels, or klimatachas, or metal vessels, manichin like crazy, a lot put on his belly, k'deshi'itpach, so that it doesn't swell. Upekinis nakav, he allowed to close up his orifices because they shulei konis bemeruach, that the wind doesn't go in there, and he decompose. Vekoshinis alech, he allowed to tie the jaw, not loishle ala, not that it should go up, aleshalei, so that it shouldn't continue to hang up more. And but the ve'im atzmen that's in b'shabbos, now close his eyes on Shabbos again, now move the dead person. If you have a dead person that's laying in the sun, allowed to put on, which is a chiddush for a dead person, a loaf of bread or a child on the dead person, and thus move the dead person because of the purpose of moving the loaf, which is permitted to be moved. And so let's say there's a fire that breaks out b'chatzar shesh b'meis in a quarter where there's a dead person over there. Allowed to put on the loaf of bread of the child on the dead person, and thus move the dead person. Now, if there's no loaf of bread or no child, then you save the dead person from the fire under all circumstances, because he might come to extinguish the fire, because he's all confounded regarding his dead relative, that he doesn't get burnt. Now, but they did not permit to move through the medium of a loaf or a child, only for a dead person, because the person is confounded, he might come to violate the malacha mechaba, so for that they allowed it, but in general not. Let's say the dead person was laying in the sun. They have nowhere else to move him to. They don't want to move him from his place. So what you could do is like this. You could have two people come and sit on the two sides of the dead person on the ground so that the heat of the ground bothers them. They're going to have to bring these beds to sit on, and then the beds ultimately will be the partition. So it's hot from beneath them because the ground is heated up from the sun. So this guy brings a couch and he sits on it, but then maybe this guy brings a couch and he sits on it, on two sides. Now it's hot for them on the top. So maybe so he brings a mat and he leans it over himself, not like an oil, but just over him. This guy brings a mat and lays it over him, like almost like a triangle over the dead person. Now this guy, he's done. He lifts up his couch, and he slips out and he goes. And this guy lifts up his couch and he slips out and he goes. The nimtza mechitza asur mila, comes out that a partition was made by itself now, as they're just leaving. Because you have this mat and this mat, their roofs are near each other. And their two ends are on the ground, like almost like a teepee, from the two sides of a dead person. If you have a dead person that decomposed in the house, comes out that the body is being disgraced amongst the living, and the hamas bazmena, they're being disgraced from the dead person. The mutal tzila karmel is allowed to take him out to the rabbinically forbidden area of a karmelist, because god lekavod be is how great is the dignity of the creations. Shadoiches leis shabbat Torah, it overrides a negative prohibition of Torah, specifically one of them. Shahu that is passing devan leisosim nadava shegid lechoyim in the small. The Torah tells us not to stray from the words that the sages tell us, right or left, and we're allowed to override the negative prohibition of mukta for the dignity of a person. Let's say that people had somewhere else to go out to, then you now take out the dead person, rather they leave in this place, and the other people leave on Shabbos and not move the muktzah person.